shoot. What's up, everybody? I'm your boy, Timmy, two-time in the house. What's going on, guys?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Just FYI, I am Rona free. I tested negative in my antibody test, so Rona. I have not had the Rona yet.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you. Talking about Corona madness, it continues to grip some parts of the country, but the bells of liberty are now ringing. The people are starting to fight back. The age of surveillance is taking an apocalyptic turn as governments look for ways to track the citizenry. It's called contact tracing, and it's for your own good. You know, we're the government and we're here to help. Yeah. By the way, you might have come in contact with somebody who had COVID at one point. So please just wear the star around your arm. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Ouch.
The stubborn case of General Flynn, U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan, is making a Hail Mary attempt at finding General Flynn guilty of something, anything. All right, we'll talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
Salty Show.org.
No, .com.
I thought it was .com.
I guess we need to buy .org now.
We don't have that one. We don't own it yet.
That triple X.
What is
that one? That one I know Saul owns.
Yeah, exactly right. What you got going on, Heidi? What's in the headlines?
We got some stuff going on in Hong Kong.
Oh yeah,
let me go ahead and read what I got here.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's going on in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong pro-democracy lawmakers dragged out of legislative session before pro-Beijing camp elects chair.
Hmm.
So I guess they get together and they have a meeting in, like, it looks very much like a judge's chambers or even like our House of Representatives, where they have the speaker, the whoever is the prime in the front, and then you come up to a podium and you talk, and it's got all the chairs for other people and constituents.
It's almost like a parliament.
It looks very similar to that.
They take after the British
guess in the U.S. we have more than just the one seat up there, but everybody's in masks, and the gentlemen are there trying to go up. I'm confused when I went through the article, because it almost looked like you have to get through the guards to touch the desk to be considered as, like, that's almost the way that it read, wow. Which I'm sure it's not quite as much of a game as that.
It's like a game of tag to get to talk.
But the article talks about how multiple people rushed the front desk, and they had like men standing there wearing their green masks, protecting the person at the front, you know, who their current legislative lawmaker
person is.
Prime minister, maybe? Like a prime minister?
No.
Yeah, it's almost like, yes. And so it talks about how several pro-democracy lawmakers in Hong Kong were dragged out of the legislative council session on Monday.
It was a melee
that broke out over a bill that would criminalize any disrespect of the Chinese national anthem, according to the reports.
Yeah.
There's only a certain period in time at which they decide you're allowed to have a say in the national anthem, and you can't speak out outside of that.
Yeah.
It's super weird. Huh. They can't pass bills. So if the topic is allowed to be discussed, it can be. If it's not, you're removed and drug out. And they said some people were actually taking a running start, trying to jump over the barricade of masked, like, bodyguards. Basically, the men are in suits. So I can't even say they're soldiers, because they're in suits and masks.
Sorry. Wasn't this government told that they're preferred nation or whatever by Obama, and they're doing this 6 years later?
I
watched the video, and I mean, they were literally eight dudes were dragging this guy out. one of them had his like leg turned to the side. Dude, it was.
Well, and that's just this one gentleman. Yeah, yeah. If you go further through the article and you read more about it and you see more of what's going on, there was a woman that was involved. At one point, a woman was trying to go, which, you know, that's a whole nother taboo over there anyways.
So but, wait, so what they were trying to do, what exactly? What were they trying to accomplish by going over this wall?
They're trying to bring democracy to Hong Kong or to Beijing, Hong Kong, Beijing.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, but this was in like their form of Congress.
It's like a legislative. Yeah. It's a legislative session. It was super, like I was reading the article and I'd only found this one. So it'd be interesting to know and see if there's more out there that would back, you know, give further light on how this process works. It was a big deal. And like I said, the House committee, that's what they call it. The House committee gets to decide when controversial bills get to even be brought and discussed. And it has to be brought and discussed under their guidelines and the chairperson's instructions, I guess you can say. So you just can't bring stuff. Like here, you can bring bills whenever you want to bring bills to have it discussed. Not there. There's only certain periods of time when you can do that kind of stuff. It amazes me, like at some point, especially in today's society, in today's world, and we have forms of socialism all over, different forms, different extremes, different whatever, but how China has been able to maintain this communism and this type of ruling is baffling in today's society. It just baffles me.
Cuba's kept it. I mean, North Korea's kept it. Vietnam is still technically communist.
It's not entirely, because if you look at Hong Kong, they've left it alone for a long time. Hong Kong's been able to function through a capitalistic form of system.
Right.
And then, you know, China just, you know, goes in and collects some of that money. Right. And that's how they're able to fund a lot of their, you know, the totalitarianism. And, you know, Cuba benefits from, you know, Russia and all these other communist countries that help it. Up to recently, Venezuela was even helping with their oil. They were helping Cuba sustain their communism. But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
well, good for Hong Kong.
They said that this is the second time. Yeah, this is the second time within 10 days, which is just unheard of, that they've made this kind of rush and tried to chaos in their form of legislature. And they're going to just keep fighting it. They were throwing placards. They were doing everything. You could see in the picture, all these men with suits. There's 1, 2.
And it goes beyond this, by the way.
6, 7, 8, 9.
Mm. It goes way beyond this.
16, 17, 18 men in suits with masks protecting this one guy standing at like a judge's.
So basically, what happened was the other main reason why they were protesting is they're trying to create, they're electing the new chairman, the new House committee that's coming in. So basically, the CCP got their own people in, and what they're doing is protecting this guy. And they got all the pro-democracy people out, then held a vote, and the guy won 40-1.
Oh.
So basically they're doing Nancy Pelosi politics, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. The $3 trillion. And,
there was multiple. It's funny, this article, along with the other ones that I'm going to talk about, they start out talking about one thing in the article. And then right as it gets to give you like those kind of details and that information, it switches to another subject. Yeah. So like it starts talking about how they're trying to, in this article, how they're trying to bring up the national anthem in China, and how Chinese national anthem was one of the things being brought up. And they're trying to address some other bills. And then all of a sudden, as it gets to the part like what he had just found, it changes and starts talking about other things going on.
Censorship.
Well, who's the publication? Who's the news agency?
Fox. Fox.
Oh, they're getting.
To Fox just because.
Well, yeah.
It's starting to get. It's definitely starting to get a little more shady.
All right. Go Hong Kong.
Okay. So Trump reveals he's taking
hydroxychloroquine.
Thank you.
Hydroxychloroquine.
With the zinc. He's not taking the
zithromycin. In effort to prevent coronavirus.
Did you guys see?
With the zinc. With the zinc. Yeah. I listened to it and then I read the article about it.
Did you actually watch it? Did you watch his roundtable today?
missed it, but I heard what he said, that he said he started to take it and he's been taking it for some time now.
A week.
It's like a week and a half.
A week and a half, he said.
Wait, I'll let you get to the article, but this guy's face, because everybody's like, and he's like, they're talking crap about it. He's like, well, I've been taking it for a week. You know, I've been taking it for some time now. They're like, huh? He's like, yeah, you heard that right. I've been taking it. You can actually write that down. You know, he is just going on and on.
I'll say this about what the guy, he's putting his money, you know what I'm saying? He's backing up what he's supporting, man. And to me, you know, if you drink your own Kool-Aid, because that's what he's doing.
Your own Clorox.
Yeah. He's been taking it for about a week and a half, along with his zinc. And in the brief, when he's talking, I wish to God they did like a pan of the people in the room, because he looks over to the one side of him and he's like, I could not wait to see your face. Like, calls this. I could not wait to see your face and how your face was going to react to my news of how I've been doing this to help prevent.
Oh, yeah. So real quick, about his round table today. So there was a guy asking a lot of questions about the Pompeii situation that's going on with the firing of the IG.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so anyway, the guy's sitting there talking. He's got his mask on and you could barely hear him. Trump finally goes, can you take your mask off, please? And he's like, guys, you OK with that? He's not going to get any of you guys sick. He literally made the guy take his mask off in the breeze. Like, I can't hear you.
I can't.
He was so annoyed. Oh my God, he was so annoyed. But anyway,
well, somebody had told me, or maybe, and of course I could have dreamt it because I just want him to say this out loud. But I swear to God, I saw or read. Oh, maybe it was Twitter. It had been Twitter this morning while I was waking up. It said he posts on his Twitter from Don, you know, Trump, reopen the nation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was all. It said three words, and that was it. Now or reopen now or whatever.
The nation.
Yeah, it was three words, because I was like, sweet Jesus, I love this man.
Yes.
But even this article. OK, so it starts out where it talks about that. And then all of a sudden, about five paragraphs down, it changes over and it starts talking about Barr and Biden, the whole Biden and Obama and Barr's decision. Or he's shocked or he's, hold on, I got to make it. I'm surprised. That's what he says. I'm surprised that that Barr is not going after Obama and Biden right now. Or at least this is what the few paragraphs had stated. And I was like, wait a minute, the article was supposed to be about him taking this medication. How the hell did you just change it mid article? It's like they want to end it on their agenda of what they want to have said.
Yep.
Because, you started the article reading about this, but then you end it thinking about something totally off topic that basically doesn't.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Highlight what you.
Right.
Yeah. What you're trying to get to.
Non sequitur.
So. Okay, so I don't know. I would hope that a lot of people remember or are thinking about the Pensacola shooting that happened in December of 2019. This blew me away. The FBI, this irritates the shit out of me. Well, why has it taken us six months to get Apple to turn over the records of Apple the phone calls?
They decrypted the guy's phone. Apple didn't turn anything over. They were able to decrypt the guy's phone.
Yeah. Right, but it took him that long. Why wouldn't Apple say
he was an American citizen? Hold on. See, this is the problem. This is the we're going to get into this. This is the whole social media and surveillance. If he was not a foreigner, I mean, he was a U.S. citizen, and
no, he was a Saudi Arabia second lieutenant for the Saudi Arabia Air Force.
Wasn't this the guy but are you sure he's not? He doesn't have a citizenship.
His name is Mohammed, a 21-year-old second lieutenant in the Royal Saudi Air Force, was who was doing the firing.
I don't think foreign nationals should be protected by this. But if for an American citizen, I do say, hey, no, Apple can't just turn over this type of information to the U.S. government.
Right.
But this came up. This has come up numerous times where people have come to Apple to basically unlock people's phones and. Right. They do have a point. It is a protection of privacy. Their privacy. And whether it's in this country, Saudi Arabia, they operate in all these countries. So even though it happened here in America, they still have privacy rules and regulations they have to follow in other countries. So by them not doing it, hey, man, if you can figure it out on your own, it's proprietary. We're, you know, if I give you the government the back door into this phone, nobody's safe.
I'm not saying that they should have given the government the back door into the phone. My thing is, you had a terrorist attack, and our companies that we fork out how many billions and trillions of dollars to as wouldn't turn over at least the records to say, hey, if I'm subpoenaed by the courts, I have to get my bank records. The bank has to supply my records from a subpoena. Why?
Yeah, I to that point, I think the government can come back with a legal subpoena saying you have to open, well, we need the information on this phone, then I think Apple should comply. But if it's just Joe Schmo on the street corner, they're like,
that's
bullshit. This local drug dealer is selling stuff on his phone, we need you to open. It's like,
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
The U.S. government has already lost that battle.
Right. We're going to get into this because General Michael Flynn and how he was unmasked. We're going to get into that because, again, you're right. You would think that something like this would only be used in times of where there's, you know, national security or things like that. However, as we are quickly finding out that this is being used as a way to get your political opponents. And so it's a slippery slope. I don't know. If the system was set up, we'll talk about it. We'll get into it.
Yeah. So North Carolina, we got our first hurricane out there. Off the coast, off the East Coast.
The first hurricane of the year?
For this year. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. First hurricane for this year. Sorry, for this season, I should say. Mm-hmm. It's out there and stirred up the water. So even though it wasn't affecting land yet, it was definitely affecting the ocean out there. And we had two young girls off the coast of North Carolina that got swept away. Mm-hmm. And a man went in with friends and helped rescue them. And I thought was pretty cool that. Cool. But in the meantime, thinking about, hey, weather's starting to change. And everybody's so worried about this crazy pandemic that's ridiculous that we're forgetting about just the natural things that are happening. So, you know, we've got 1500 acres right here, you know, 15 minutes from us on fire, and it's growing and moving rapidly.
Really?
Oh yeah. Cave Creek's under fire.
Oh wow. I know.
Right. We got hurricane season here. We have all these weather things coming up, and this article, when it popped up about how these gentlemen went out into the rip currents and rescued these girls, just was like, hey, we're forgetting about the day-to-day shit we should be thinking about because we're worrying about something crazy that's probably not going to affect 99% of you, you know, the 1% or less than whatever population. So, you know, let's think about something that's going to affect all of us. Mm-hmm. there's an idea. Which is going to feed right into my next article. New York City shootings in the past 7 days have skyrocketed at all-time high.
Why?
New York City, aren't they supposed to be? I mean, doesn't
Cuomo?
Isn't he supposed to have it all locked down and it's supposed to be safe?
So New York City is de Blasio.
New York's trying to take care of everybody, and New York City.
We're gonna get into de Blasio today as well.
All right, and
he's on my shit list.
The last one that I pulled that I'm surprised I didn't hear it even come up in your opening comments. Mm-hmm. Greta Thunberg, I know an article came out that we got a lot of shit rising with her. So I would like to know,
besides the climate.
Yeah. So social media storms because of CNN bringing her in. And, you know, CNN's trying to give this impression, well, we want a young person's opinion.
No, we
of
don't.
What's going on. Okay. So wait a minute. So I would like to just elect some young people to replace her. So how do we do that?
Give them the twins.
How do we
Candace
get some
Owens
educated young people?
Candace Owens is not a kid.
No.
She's a child.
I want to match. I want to match her 17-year-old age.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Give them your kids.
Right. I would like to know how we can bring in some young people that can help Greta.
They should bring in the Covington kid.
And her purple hair.
Intelligent person.
Yeah, he's So I'm
a childhood.
What they, I know that I saw this article back. They wanted to make her an expert on, was it coronavirus?
No. So yes, they are. It's not they want to. They are bringing her on CNN to discuss coronavirus.
Yeah.
And the biggest question ever is why?
So yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
No. So the reason why this has really got everybody's fucking balls in a vice. Because Rand Paul came out and said, Dr. Fauci, with all due respect, you don't get to determine, you know, the economy. You're not an economist. You don't get to make the decisions in this country. You're here to provide advice and we follow. But mind you, Rand Paul actually is a doctor.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
He is, I don't know if he's practicing, but, you know, he's got all, you know, he's a real medical doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Went through the whole schooling, whether it's for a special, whatever. He understands medicine. So he can talk about certain things, okay? Yeah. Greta Thunberg is 17 years old, doesn't understand climate change. She just knows about my child has been taken away from me. My child.
So they had her. They already had her on.
I feel bad for this girl.
They ask her questions. She's a kid. She's disturbed. She's got problems. She's got mental problems. And, you know, they're parade. This is a child abuse, in my opinion, from the parents.
Shit.
That they parade her around and stuff like that. And, you know, they bring her on and they, you know, they're asking questions and, you know, all she can say is, I encourage young people to listen to the scientists and da 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 da. And yeah, well, the scientists got it wrong. They projected this very wrong. And we're going to listen to them. And that's why I applaud Rand Paul for telling Fauci, look, man, you know, you can give us your data, but we're going to create these policies and we're going to look at the bigger picture. And that's how it should be. Right. And like Tim said, that's the right approach. And in my opinion, like I say this all the time, children should be seen and not heard. You know what I mean? Like what wisdom are you going to impart on me, child? You know what I'm saying? Like, please. But again, this is that mentality with my professor she was going to learn from me as much as she was going to teach. And I was like, well, why am I paying for this class? Why am I here?
If you're, exactly.
You know,
it's stupidity.
Greta's big message that she's trying to get out there. Oh God.
Don't make fun of her. It's not her message, by the way.
No. I'm going to just tell you what her words are.
Her response.
Like the climate crisis, the coronavirus pandemic is a child rights crisis.
Jesus.
It will affect all children now and in the long term, but vulnerable groups will be impacted the most. I'm asking everyone to step up and join me in support of UNICEF's vital work to save children's lives and protect health and continue education.
Yeah, the script.
Now.
She's reading from the script. Somebody gave her that.
You're not allowed to step up. You're not allowed to step outside.
Please.
You're not allowed to step outside. So we can't step up and help UNICEF because I don't have a job to donate. Because I can't step outside to go to work because I'm not essential.
All I would like to know is I want somebody with a brain to tell me exactly what her freaking IQ is.
No, so remember, it's not her words.
I know it's not her words. So obviously, it's not her words, but
she's
trying to make this now a child rights crisis. Give me a break. The child, you know nothing about child rights because if you did have any clue whatsoever, you would not be this puppet on strings.
Her parents.
For this everybody parents. To play yeah. games with.
This
Seriously.
Is her parents and everybody else and pulling adult freaking strings. Around. She's being paraded around. It's not right. Mm-hmm. Not right. If you want to call CPS on somebody, don't call CPS on the woman that opened up her salon in Oregon to defy mm-hmm. to feed her family. Because another way it happened in Oregon where they called CPS on her. Call
yeah, we'll
CPS
talk about
on
that.
Greta Thunberg's
we'll
parents.
Get into
you know what
we'll
I'm
get
saying?
Into that. Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's
so,
just wrong.
So I'm going to end. I'm going to end this in just saying this was the only article that completed everything that it meant to complete and didn't change
it's
subjects.
Agenda. It's an agenda
halfway through.
Yeah. All right.
The news is an agenda.
All right. So let's go on to this because the past week we obviously saw a flurry of activity across the country from again states imposing stricter rules. To others moving into the next phase of reopening. So first, again, the media's incessant push towards hysteria, as Heidi just has alluded to in some of her articles that she shared. But I do want to share again, this article that I want to talk about, the way in which the news media, the New York Times specifically, tries to deceive. And let me share my screen here with you guys, because this is infuriating. Hold on. You guys see my screen?
Yep.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. All right. So let's start off with this first New York Times article. Now, the headline says Sweden stayed open a deadly month. Shows the risks, right? So this implies that because Sweden stayed opened, that they faced a lot of deaths, right? And during that month that they were open. However, if you read the subheadline, it says Sweden's outbreak has been far deadlier than those of its neighbors, but it's still better off than many countries that enforce the strict lockdowns. So again, they compare it to Norway and Finland. However, compared to England, France, Spain, Italy, Portugal, it did far better. And so again, people read this. I was like, oh, see, Sweden, they stayed open and it cost them. Yeah, actually, no, it did far better than many countries. So was the lockdown worth it? Right. Again, this is the New York Times, the genius of the New York Times. And again, it's deception through headlines. The next one I'm going to show you, and I think Tim alluded to this, or maybe in a previous conversation. So CNN, a reporter by the name of Caitlin Collins, is, you know, pressing Trump on how they normally press the president every day. And or actually the press secretary.
I love
and
her.
As soon as the cameras turn off. Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous. As soon as the cameras turn off. Well, look at this. Caitlin Collins. Right here in the front.
In the pink.
Right here in the front of the pink. All right, cameras are off. She's like, yes, we're free to go home. And mask? Yeah, I'm not going to
mask off.
This. Takes it off. Mask off. And no social distancing. So, again, their actions alone should prove that the news media doesn't believe their own hysteria. My question to the New York Times, because again, this is what they label people who aren't social distancing. Is Caitlin Collins a pro-deather, New York Times? Would you call this person a pro-deather because she's putting everybody at risk by not wearing the mask? You know, and you'll quickly see how this is deception by the news media. All right, let's.
So they did the same thing in the. To what they did the same thing in the Rose Garden. So in the Rose Garden, yeah, oh, really? Like a couple days before, the cameras were still rolling. They didn't realize it. As soon as the president walked out, they all taking it off. You know, all the ones that tried to play stuff to Trump, they all got caught out again, dude. You know, it's just.
Do they believe it? They don't believe their lies. That's what I'm telling you. So you know, just Trump needs to run in, you know, these whatever his campaigns, and he should show us this over and over again, them taking off their mask because they don't believe the lies that they're trying to sell the American people. All right. So a lively show in Congress this week or last week. The Democrats put on a show because they want to pass this $3 trillion wish list. And Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio bloviated on the House floor about people making lines for food as if it's the Republicans' fault. They themselves compound the issue by forcing businesses to stay closed. And then they look at Republicans and say, why are you guys doing this? Let me play this guy. Let me play what he says.
4 million people didn't pay their rent, and the Republican Party says, we don't have any money to help you. Are you kidding me? Where do you guys live? Food lines around the blocks at our food banks in the United States of America. 1 in 5 kids are going hungry.
By the way, where's his mask? you see what I'm saying? Like, he fucking closed the state down because
shut
of social.
Up. Shut up.
This is why I can't take these motherfuckers seriously, bro. Meanwhile, the idiot back here is like, I don't even know what. Oh my God. I am so done with these motherfuckers, dude, because, you know, he's like I said, he's like, oh, you know, flailing his hands like a crazy person.
And spitting all over the place,
and
by the way.
Spitting all over the place. Thank you.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and again, and then so he blamed, he says, there's lines. Yeah, open the state back up. Let people go back to work and you'll see those lines dissipate. The next one is I'm just going to go one by one on the ridiculousness that's happening and the flurry of activity that I said happened this week. So, and Tim just brought it up earlier. Hairstylist in Oregon, it moves you because she felt the full force of government, of how government can abuse its power. This should be a wake-up call to citizens that have ignored being involved in politics, right? Because I hear a lot of people tell me, just this stuff is not for me, right? I don't get involved. Okay, well, this is what happens when you don't get involved, right? Government expands. When you say, I don't get involved, it's not my thing, this is why you need to care, and this is why you need to be involved. I'm going to play everything that she says because, again, this is, and it's a little long, but I think it's worth listening to because what she says is, again, abuse of power from the local government in Oregon of what they're doing to her salon shop and what they're doing to
$14,000?
Yeah. So the headline is Oregon fines salon owner $14,000 because she opened her doors too soon and they're threatening to take away her children. I am not kidding. So I'm going to play this again.
The main reason I'm here today is I want the public to understand what's happening to me by the government in full detail, the intimidation and the bullying, all because I'm trying to earn a living and provide for my family. So I'm going to walk you guys through the timeline of what the government has tried to do to me in the last 10 days. And I hope that you are as ashamed as I am. So on March 2nd, you all know that I publicly announced that I was going to be opening my salon on May 5th, and I was doing so to support my family and provide an income for my family. On May 4th, the day before I even opened, OSHA came into my salon and informed me that they would return the next day, and if I opened, they would issue me a $1,000 citation, and if I didn't comply and shut my doors, they would then issue me a $70,000 citation.
Jesus.
And at that point, I was almost broken and beaten, and I almost decided not to open. And with the help of my political experts and my attorneys, we moved forward. And on May 5th, we did open our doors. And myself and some of my independent contractors were able to come in for a week and work, as is our right, and provide for our families. There's about 23 artists that work in the salon. And the last I checked, within the last week, not a single one of them has received any unemployment or government assistance. So they had 1 week to come in and try to earn a living for their family and pay some of the bills that we're acquiring. And on May 6th, the next day, my lease with the city of Salem was threatened, claiming that I was violating the order and therefore violating my lease. So yet another agency that was coming and threatening me and intimidating me. And if you can possibly believe this, on May 7th, Child Protective Services showed up at my home. They questioned my husband and I. They questioned my child without me present. They searched our home. And I've never expected such a violent, aggressive, vindictive thing could ever have been done to me or my family because I'm trying to earn a living, because I'm trying to work. One week later, yesterday, OSHA finally decided that my case was closed and had decided that my disciplinary actions were as follows, that I would receive, no doubt, a $14,000 fine for operating a, quote, hazardous facility for my, quote, employees, which I do not have. I have independent contractors that are choosing to work in this facility. OSHA has illegally deemed them employees and is citing me as an employer, which I am not, $14,000. And upon issuing that citation, which will come next week, I was told, I will have 3 days to shut my doors or they will cite me yet again for another issue that is, once again, not legal. So the past 10 days, when all I've wanted to do is provide for my family and earn a living and open my business that's been closed for 6 weeks, I'm being threatened and intimidated and bullied daily by the government. And I'm very sad that this is the world that we live in. I'm sad that I can drive 20 minutes down the freeway and that person's job as a hairstylist is essential, according to Kate Brown. But my job, 20 minutes up the street, is non-essential. Everyone's job is essential, not because of what we do or how we do it, but because it's the way we make our living. I just don't understand why that's hard.
All right, so I'm going to leave it there. Obviously, it's a moving speech. I played it all because that way you guys can see, right? I guarantee you that this has changed each and one of those women there, those girls who most likely haven't been involved in politics because it's just not their thing. Okay. But this is a rude awakening for them. And again, they've realized that once you give governments this type of power, they will use every single agency available to them to pressure you to do what they want you to do. We need to wake up. This is doing evil in the name of goodness. Again, what she says is true, right? Who is essential should not be left up to a number of people, you know, who have no idea, who are career politicians.
You know, as much as they say, you know, we might assume that they've never been in politics or that whole dynamic, but you got to remember this. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people in these states, Oregon, California, New York, I don't like the religious Bible thump, you know, the typical Bible thumping rich old guys and the good old boy club and blah, you know, the same shit that everybody's been spewing about Republicans. And I've even said myself when I was a kid, you know what I mean? Wasn't educated. You know, they see Republicans aren't trying to take your liberties. They're trying to give them to you. People might say they're trying to give you death to scare you, but I'm hoping that they realize that partly this is their fault for allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
They elected these officials in, not understanding what they're about. They might have said, you know what? I'm voting for Kate to be the governor because she's a woman and I can feel, you know, she says she spoke to me, or I can elect this one because they spoke to me, or he's a good guy and Republicans are bad and they want more tax. You know, when they say Republicans want to give to the rich and not the poor, it blows my mind away. It blows my mind away. When you hear all the things and then you start peeling it back and going, huh, rich people give more back.
Yes.
Than anybody. So, and if you're saying majority of the rich people are Republicans, they give back more to their communities than anybody else. They create more jobs. Who are the small business owners? Usually, mostly Republicans.
Usually,
you know, when they come at it, right? So,
I had a conversation.
They chose this
with my 92-year-old grandmother yesterday, and we were talking about this whole lockdown and coronavirus and everything else. And I said, 92 years old, so she remembers the Great Depression. She remembers standing in line in the bread lines during the wars for their ration of food to take home for the family. She remembers this. She talks about it.
She like four?
And,
Was she four?
She's, yep. I think she said she was four or four and a half or something. But she remembers. It was so impactful to her that she remembers that. So she is talking about this whole pandemic and the lockdown and everything else and how, you know, why is Arizona opening back up, and her concerns about how Arizona is opening back up. All right. I said, Mirma, let me ask you a question. If the government, I said, I'm not saying that people aren't getting sick from something coronavirus related. I'm not saying they're not getting sick. That's not my argument. My argument is the government should not have locked down the country for it. And I said, she says, yeah, but there's some of us that could get sick. Look at your mom and look at me. And I said, okay, you're right. Some of us could get sick. So, Mirma, you're 92. The government's going to come in and they're going to tell everybody that's 80 years and older, they're not allowed to drive anymore. Because I know it's driving for her is a sensitive spot. So if you're 80, you're no longer allowed to drive, period. I don't care. No longer. That's it. You lose your license. You lose your vehicle. You lose your everything. You're not allowed to drive anymore. And she said, no. That no, because I drove just fine at 80. And I said, I don't care, Mirma. Just like this coronavirus and this lockdown for the small minority of people that can be drastically affected, the government has done this. So the government is going to decide to come in and say, you're 80 years old. I don't care. Statistically, because isn't that what they're basing it on? It's statistics. Mm-hmm. Statistically, 80-year-olds have a higher risk of driving. And at that point, we should no longer allow driving for 80 and up. And she said, well, I should be allowed to make that decision myself. But wait a minute. Hold on. Why can't we make our decisions for ourselves about this virus? Well, it's for public health and safety. Yeah, but public health and safety says that when you hit 80 years old, you're more likely to get into a car accident. I know 3 motorcycle accidents that have happened in 18 months, all related to somebody 70 years or older driving behind the wheel. So guess what, Mirma, based on your argument, we should stop driving at the age of 70 years old because you're going to kill more people 70 and older are going to kill somebody than this coronavirus is going to do. She sat there silent. You could see her because she's a very intelligent woman and you could see her trying to like put that in relation. And I said, Mirma, have we as a family decided to protect you and my mom? And she says, well, yeah, but other people, I said, who cares what other people are doing? Did we protect the people that we knew had a sensitivity? Are we protecting the people that we know have a sensitivity? Yes. I said, that's called common sense. So we're going to allow the government to tell us what common sense is? No. My mom, right? Highest in our family of somebody who could die from this thing, kidney transplant patient, for those who don't know, she says, it's called survival of the fittest, Mirma.
I like how you put it. That was very eloquent. And I'm glad you were able to challenge that because you know what? That logic, it stands and it's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. You know,
for a lot of people, that logic does not stand, though. They do not. Doesn't matter because they are, you know, the argument.
Don't care.
You know, mm-hmm. the argument. Mm-hmm. You're selfish because you're right. Not staying in can get me sick. And my family's sick. But if you stay home and I'm still out, by the time you decide to walk out your house, I've got it. And I either got it and recovered, got it and died, or, you know, those are my two options, basically, you know?
Yeah, pretty so, much.
Oh, like she said, the government can say ban smoking. Smoking's bad for your health. Cigarettes are illegal. Alcohol kills so many people from drinking and driving. People aren't smart to get by. Guess what? Alcohol is illegal again. They made drugs illegal, right? At one point, they were legal. You know, we can go on and on and on and on. But again, the more we make things illegal and give power to the government, it's every freedom can be taken away. That's the simple. We got to move on.
So going on back to this lady, in an ironic twist of events, and I believe this, I'm not entirely sure, but the judge who was appointed by a Democrat, don't quote me on this, in Oregon, said that the coronavirus restrictions were null and void after the governor failed to get approval from the legislator. So this woman's suffering might be short-lived because from what I hear, a judge just recently knocked down that governor's orders,
well,
basically.
The $14,000 fine for the salon owner, that's from OSHA, right?
Yep. 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 But again, so it's based off of the restrictions put on by the government. I think
it's
she can challenge
thrown out.
It does all get thrown out because it's all a bunch of crap, obviously.
If but not, then how do we send this woman money? Because guess what? I'll reach into my pocket to send her 50 bucks.
She just doesn't pay. She doesn't pay when they put the locks on. You fucking cut the locks. Right. Plain and simple. Or you move your business. Yep. Move your business and your family to a red state where we will support you and not lock you out. Yeah. Plain and simple. So you got two choices. You either step up and change a community or move to a place where they don't want to take your life away from you.
Yeah, that is a great point right there.
Done. If that's
you,
it. Two answers.
If you are in an area where that's they're fun. Pulling this kind of crap, you need to look at your local government and you need to get them out because they are not in this for your interest. They're not in it for anyone's interest but their own. And yeah, you need to get them out.
But in the meantime, she has a financial burden on her that maybe, like, I'm sorry, but there was a certain point in time where we would not have been able to do that. So I understand. But my point is, we wouldn't have been able to afford to cut the locks and be hauled off to jail for bail money.
Good lawyers.
This cost money.
No, good lawyers will take this case.
Oh, yeah.
Pro bono to fight this because there's constitutional lawyers that will do this because they want to make a name for themselves.
Exactly.
And it's not right. They know this isn't right.
It's still,
you didn't ask for this. They will take it pro bono.
In the meantime, they still need the money to pay their own bills to keep under a roof over their head or whatever the case is, whether it's temporary or whether it's permanent. There's still a financial piece of this. And I'm sorry, it's worth my $50 and whoever else is listening that has a $50 to send to help a family fight this.
I'm sure someone, Elon Musk or somebody will step up.
It's already taken care of.
If it has to get paid, somebody will step up and be like, you guys are assholes and just write
sure
checks and get the hell out of here.
Pretty sure she's got a GoFundMe and I think a lot of people showed her support.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do
that's
like what, a,
that's my question.
A potpourri of just like bad news is across the country. Michigan is another example. Michigan barber license was suspended because he didn't want to shut down. Now, of the most absurd things that have happened, this one is funny. This was funny. This one is the absurdity in this one is funny, is what I want to say. But I like the funnity, so I'm going to use that word. I'm going to coin that word.
The funnity. I like
funnity.
That,
yeah. Funnity. Oh, because again, now this is funny. However, it is absurd, and I just want you to watch this.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them.
Right there.
There are people laughing in the background.
Even she knows what she's saying.
She knows what she's saying is stupid. You're reading a script that you know is stupid.
She's got ear to ear grin. She's done.
Because she knows
she's done.
Between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out, to put an X. Right.
So look at the men in the masks. You know the only reason they're wearing those masks is because they're dying with laughter.
But listen to what she said. Listen to what she said. You can kick somebody else's, but you can't touch somebody else's.
And you can marker them with black marker.
But you can know what they are, which ones are yours.
But look at what you're trying to tell everybody. You're trying to tell everybody take everything you know about being a human.
Yeah.
And go be a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know it's absurd. You know it's stupid.
Right.
It's stupid. This makes no sense.
This is what I say. The absurdity that comes from allowing government to meddle in people's lives. Again, like we've all been saying, there's no common sense. It's funny, but it's scary at the same time, right? Because if we're hearing what she says, she's telling you what you can and can't do with tennis balls. We're not angry enough at this bullshit. This is not an episode of the Twilight Zone. This is real life. We allowed it.
I know.
And fucking hysterical. By the way, you just lost your freedoms. You know what I'm saying? Like,
So is a cop supposed to enforce that now? Are we going to have cops I don't even know what state this was. I saw it and I left my ass off because she's an idiot. Because she knows when you Long laugh Island. At something, you know Long you're
Island,
an idiot. Dude.
This is Long Island.
Long Island?
Yeah.
Go figure. Right? So are we going to have cops all over the city and Long Island and whatnot looking to see if somebody's touching somebody else's ball?
Dude.
And then go
Balls.
And go, excuse me, son.
Yeah.
You are now going to juvenile, JD, you know, whatever. I always forget the term. Right. You're going to jail because you touched somebody's balls and you broke social distancing. Or you're going to get a fine. You're going to go home to your mom. Oh, I got a ticket for what? Oh, I touched Johnny's ball.
We're paying for that now. Costco's got freaking police. I'm so glad.
No, they
my
weren't,
money,
they weren't
my
there
tax,
yesterday. They weren't
well,
there
they
yesterday.
Were when I went. The tax. So our taxpayers' money, taxpaying money that we're paying is going to a cop standing outside of Costco.
Hold on, time out.
Because
time out,
you
time
can't
out,
go in without a mask
out.
On.
Just like at Santeezy's and other bars when they have fights and they have cops there, the bar and that business has to pay for those cops.
Okay.
Because they're there to make sure that the person working at the door doing the clicking she can't tell you in and out. She's got to work, and if the policy of the store is to wear a mask, right? That is a private business saying you can't. You choosing to go to Costco, it's their choice to say if you wear a mask or not. It is just like how they have the firearm sign, right? You're not allowed to bring firearms inside of a store, and if you do, so keep it concealed, because if it pops out, you can be in trouble.
But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. The only reason they get away with that, Tim, is because there's no other stores fucking open. But as soon as other stores open, they say you don't have to wear a mask. I guarantee you, they'll be like, okay, well, you don't have to wear a mask here either.
No, I mean, Walmart, every supermarket is open.
I've been to a bunch, to Walmart several times.
They're the only ones.
But here's the kicker, though. Costco is a membership. You have to pay to get in there. You sign a document agreeing to certain terms. Where on there does it say you get the right to tell me what I can and can't wear? They may have a no shirt, no shoes, no service kind of policy, but where does it say in there anywhere that says you have to wear a mask?
And if they do now, then I want my membership money back because you violated the terms.
Exactly. Yes. So again, nobody, unless you're one of those people that read every single, I don't know what their terms are, right? But it's if they own that, if they pay rent in that building, it's their store, their policy. It is then my choice as a member or a consumer to take my money and go somewhere else.
Right. Yes.
Always remember that. True. I did go into Costco yesterday. I was pissed. They gave me a mask. I had one in my pocket, but I was like, let me see if I can get in. She's like, oh, they're going to give. So as soon as I went
in.
They
gave you one?
Yeah. So, but anyway. So I went in. I put it right over. I put it over my face, not my nose, because I was like, I can't breathe in this thing. So I'm walking around. Eventually, I just pulled it down. Right? But as soon as like somebody was walking, I didn't want drama. You know what I mean? I didn't want to get into a fight with people.
I'd be drama.
So I just literally put it up real quick, put it down, you know, and then as soon as I was walking out, as soon as I was done paying, I had it off and I just started, the lady laughed, you know, and I'm walking out with no mask, throw it out. You know, it's not the employee's fault. Right. You can't look at an employee and go, look,
well,
they work there. And if they're saying, look, my bosses say this is the rule, you can't come in if you don't wear one. I can't yell at them and say, well, you should say no, because they also got to feed their families too.
So I understand that, but how is that different than the police officer that's enforcing dumbass laws?
Right.
Because their quote unquote boss says they have
business.
But that's
we are asking police officers to use their common sense and not pull people over who are in their car with two people and tell them one of them has to get out because of social distancing.
Again, in, you know, a policeman, they swear an oath to protect the Constitution. Right. They do swear, take oaths to protect the people in the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. So if a store says my policies, I'm protecting people in my store because I don't want lawsuits for not making people wearing masks, they are doing a risk reward. If they lose my business and nobody gets sued, they lose $100 a month, a year. Right. But if everybody goes in wearing a mask and then sues them because they didn't take the necessary precautions, because people are very sue happy. Put it this way, if people weren't sue happy, you wouldn't have to wear a mask. How about that?
Yeah.
If you walked in,
I agree with you, Tim, for the most part. I do it because it's a free market, right? They're not forcing you to go buy at their store. You're choosing to go to that store. However, where I say this is different now is because the government has said, hey, the store that doesn't want to impose this stupidity is shut down because the government forced them to shut down, right? We're not allowing a true free market right now because the government is shutting down certain stores that are not essential, even though they sell the same goddamn shit, right? And so, again, you know, you're right in general. And if the field is fair, right? But right now it isn't. The government has forced a lot of companies to shut down because they've been deemed non-essential. All right, we're going to move on.
Yeah, we can go on.
So, one more thing on this whole absurdity thing. And now this one kind of is disconcerting for me because Alan Dershowitz, usually one of the more level headed Democrats out there, he came out saying that, and he's a constitutional scholar. He says you have no right to refuse a vaccination if it cures COVID. I'm not kidding.
What?
Listen to what he said.
What?
Let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread a disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business.
Wait, can I stop you? No right not to be vaccinated? Meaning if they decide you have to be vaccinated, we have to be vaccinated?
Absolutely. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm. If the vaccination if the vaccination is designed to prevent the spreading disease. If the vaccine
again, the guy's a constitutional scholar saying that what he's saying here is supported by the Constitution. It's nowhere in the fucking Constitution. This is scary. And it's and it angered me because again, this guy's been one of the most level-headed. But he's saying that the cops can take you to a doctor's office and the doctor can plunge a needle inside you to cure you of your disease.
No.
Of a disease you don't necessarily even have.
Yeah.
This is insanity, dude. And again, but this is one of the more level-headed Democrats out there who believes it. But there's a lot of people who, when they hear him, they're like, oh, yeah, applaud. That's exactly because everybody should be forced. But see, people assume that okay, let's say that right now every government official is an angel sent from heaven. All of them, angels. And so for a short period of time, it works because only good people are imposing this. Tomorrow, a bad person, right, Hitler, will come into office and he's going to force people to do certain things. And when we, for all this time, have said, for the safety of the public, let's force people to get vaccinated. That is a scary man. And again, I hated playing this, but it's necessary to hear because, again, he's one of the more level-headed Democrats. What are the freaking fringe saying right now? This is insanity. Now, let's move on to the wins. Because there was a lot of wins, and I just mentioned one that a judge in Oregon basically said that the governor's restrictions are null and void. A federal judge also blocked North Carolina's governor's rule that limited indoor church services. This is another big win, saying that this was unconstitutional. So North Carolina governor, a judge blocks North Carolina governor's ruling limiting indoor religious services amid coronavirus. Fox News reported this. Roy Cooper's executive order that limits indoor religious services to just 10 people was thrown out by a federal court judge. And that's a good thing. This is a win. These out of control governors, man, it's insanity. The next one, the California sheriffs, this is a good one. If you haven't seen this, hold on. Oh, you mother. This link is not working. Okay, let me show you this. Yeah, I think they took this one, but I'm going to Google it because this is worth watching. This is different. Yeah. So California sheriff says she's not enforcing the lockdown. This is one. The one that I wanted to show you though is this one. New Jersey. That I think that's the one you were going to talk about, Tim. A New Jersey police.
The gym?
Yes.
Yep. This is the one.
Beautiful. Yes. In Belmar, New Jersey. I was actually talking about. So this gym said, hey, we're going to open up. And again, there's orders in New Jersey that everything's locked down, even gyms. And Governor Murphy ordered that gyms are still not part of this phase. Well, there was a confrontation, and this is what happened.
We are and were only here for everybody's safety today. We plan for the worst, hope for the best, and it seems like that's what we have out here today.
Yeah.
Normally, you are all in violation of the executive order. On that note, have a good day. Everybody be safe.
Thank you.
This is what cops need to be doing across the country.
All right.
Not enforcing.
All right. Hey,
isn't that beautiful?
So the cops left and let the guys go into the gym.
The cops basically
and then
just
the
told
USA
them,
chance.
They just basically told them, you guys are in violation of the governor's orders. Have a nice day. You know what I mean? Like, because you see what I'm saying? They did their job.
Well, they did their job.
They did their job. And this is what they should be doing. They should be saying, hey, guys, FYI, you're in violation. I'm out. Peace. And if more cops did this and shed light on the absurdity of these governors, what they try to impose, I think, this would end very quickly. Anyways, I just needed to share that.
That goes along, though, with what, like, Tim making the comment earlier. You know, he didn't want to go off on the employee because it's not really the employee's fault because they have bosses that are telling them that they have to do something. Well, isn't that part of the point that we as a nation of people need to do? Because guess what? If employees stop showing up to work because they're being forced to do something, guess what? The business is going to have to figure out how to, like, do or whatever. But people are so scared to stand up for themselves and to stand up for what they believe in that we're just going to, this is why we're going to become a communist country, is because people are too scared to stand up for what they believe in.
Yep.
In the day of fear, if you see 36 million people are unemployed, probably closer to 40, because, you know, a lot of people aren't counted. What do you do? Do you say, well, I'm going to stand up for everybody else's right because, you know, that same person would do it for me. And
no, but that's where our world, our nation needs to open their eyes and freaking come. I mean, I see what you're saying.
This is not easy.
I'm not disagreeing with you because, look, don't get me wrong. I have my mask in my purse so that I can go in and get what I need for my family at home if I need to go in and do that. So I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. It's just so unfortunate that this is the world that we live in, and you can't even have a conversation in a store with an employee. Like, how ridiculous is this? Wouldn't it just be great if everybody stood up against this, this, and this? Mm-hmm. You can't even have that conversation anymore. It's being taken away.
Yeah. Here's the deal. If you, like you said, if everybody was allowed to open, and it was up to that business owner to say yes or no, it's, to me, that's different. You know, that, like, for me, right? Because I can go to a business and say, hey, you can't sit down and wait. But another one says I can sit down and wait. If I want to sit down and wait, I'm going to go there. But, as long as you can choose,
sure.
Right? I mean, but we're getting to the point. I see every point. I see every aspect,
yeah.
Right? But we're just a few people. There's people that feel the opposite. So are they right and we're wrong? Are we right? Are they wrong? So they're trying to accommodate to everybody.
Sure. And there is no, not everybody. Sorry, not everybody. It's not everybody. What they're accommodating are the crazies out there.
Well, the whiners that assume.
Let's shut the shit down. But so I've been hiring in my office. I've been hiring. And I actually had a young lady quit after her second day on the clock because she officially got her unemployment check.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want working to affect the money
I know.
That she's going to make in unemployment. Yeah. I, as the business owner and all the rest of the business owners out there, we are going to have to pay back every penny of the government's decision to increase while we are still trying to hire and we are still offering jobs and employment. I wish there was somewhere, somehow, I honestly would freaking report her and I'd put my damn name on it. And here's my address, bitch. This is where you can find me because I'm so sick. And if you are listening to this show and you are one of those people collecting unemployment, while I know for a fact there's a list of opportunities for you to get a job, you sicken me. You are part of the problem and you are a putrid little measly piece of shit.
They're out there. Wow. They're leeches. I talked about this a couple episodes ago, saying that there's leeches in society, man, that would rather, you know, collect that check than do honorable work. All right. So we're going to move on to the next topic, which is contact tracing. Have you guys heard about this? Have any of you heard about what contact tracing
is? Yeah, Go ahead. Just go ahead.
Tim, what were we going to say?
It's something that's been going on for a very long time, right?
Yes.
This is nothing new.
Yes.
It's nothing new.
Right.
Right. But however, normally they do contact tracing to find origin and they base it on some cases.
Now
they want to do now is, I'll let you get into it.
Yeah. They want to start using technology to assist in this, meaning that, say, for example, if somebody has COVID, and they're able to track all the people who that person has been around. Now they're going to contact you, right? Who it shows here you were really close vicinity to this person. And now we have to, you know, track you down and let you know. And again, this is in the age of surveillance, this is scary, right? Because once we give government this type of power, Can you imagine what they can do with that? Right? They can say, oh, look, all these people are congregating in this church. All these people are doing this. What kind of meetings are they having? Oh, these are anti-government meetings. Oh, we got to end that. Oh, these are anti-Governor Northam meetings. Oh, we got to end that. You see what I'm saying? This is, we open this door in the name of our health. And in the end, again, once we've opened that door, what do? Because it all starts with good intentions. Same with the data harvesting. But it's been abused. And if you think of Flynn, right, it was the only one who's been unmasked. We're wrong. Okay. And this is where this leads to. And this is what's scary about it. But a lot of people are saying, yeah, bring that on. I want to know if I was in contact with somebody who had COVID-19. But think about what you are allowing. And here is an example of this, because social media, who's going to play a big role in this, right? Because they're the ones who are tracking us down in our apps. And when we say, yeah, I want to get on and I want to be social. And okay, well, those terms that you agree to stipulate that they can track you and they can see your location and they're keeping track of that. Okay, well, look at what YouTube is doing. This is I can verify that I went looking for this video. There's a epidemiologist by the name of Newt Witkowski. He opposes the lockdown. Again, this is an epidemiologist, a scientist, and he opposes this. YouTube took down his video because it violated their terms. What terms? It went against what the government is suggesting, what the WHO is suggesting, right? Because this guy criticized the WHO, criticized all these agencies and local governments that tried to impose these things. Why is YouTube involved in this? Why is YouTube deleting this kind of stuff? And a good sign that this might change is right now the Justice Department, they're about to hit Google with a lawsuit, an antitrust lawsuit, because they're trying to control the means of information. They have a monopoly, right? When we go searching, nobody's using Bing. Everybody's using Google, and Google is restricting what you can search. I'm serious, guys. I was searching for certain things, and everything that I could find was everything that was filtered through Google. It was news sources from CNN, from the New York Times. You think you're going to find something that somebody that opposes the lockdowns because of COVID-19? It's very hard to find that kind of stuff. And so the Justice Department now said that they're going to go file a lawsuit. It's pending any minute now. They're gonna hit Google with an antitrust lawsuit, and it should happen. It should have happened a long time ago.
I love it.
And who owns YouTube?
Alphabet.
Who made the Android operating system?
Alphabet.
Or
Android,
pushed it along for, you know,
Google.
So Google is exactly like Microsoft, and it's worse.
Yes, they're getting worse.
It's worse because it's controlling every aspect of your life.
Yes. So
you got an Android phone and you got everything all linked together. Your Nest, your this, your this, your this.
Yep. Your search history.
Every conversation you have.
Yep. It's listening to me right now, motherfucker. All right. So I want to read this tweet thread by Cheryl Atkinson. And she lays out a really beautiful timeline of how things initially start off with good intention, and we initially agree with it, but it slowly evolves into government meddling in people's lives and how things get abused. I will lay out my understanding in this thread. This is her. First, Intel officials were initially barred under our Constitution and laws from capturing innocent Americans on wiretaps and surveillance of foreign officials and terrorists. Okay, this was initially. Then they said, well, we need to sometimes capture those innocent U.S. citizens, incidentally, but we won't store their information. We'll protect their American rights. Then they said, well, we're going to store the information for just a little while, but we will carefully control access and we will mask or hide the identities of the U.S. citizens so they cannot be used for political or nefarious purposes. Then they said, well, we need to store the names and info of the innocent U.S. citizens longer than we first said, and it will go in a database. But don't worry, in the very rare instance where names are unmasked, it will be a careful, controlled process only a few can do. They added, nobody will be able to unmask simply because they are curious or suspicious. There will have to be extremely important and well-documented reasons directly related to national security. This will be extremely rare. Now, some are saying, what's wrong with unmasking? There are thousands and thousands of them every year. I was told back in 2015 that this process was increasingly being abused by bad actors. And as the whole unmasking of General Flynn proves, that there was a huge list of people who were able to unmask, who when the FBI was doing this investigation and they identified a U.S. citizen in contact with Russian officials, person after person, this whole entire list of people who were able to unmask the person's name, which again turns out to be General Flynn. And guess who the last person on this list is? Joe Biden.
Creepy Joe.
The guy who, when asked a day before if he knew anything about the whole General Flynn thing, said, I had no idea. What? Motherfucker, you asked that his name be unmasked for you. And so again, see, this is what, and she again laid out a real beautiful thing, because initially it was, well, you know what? This is protected. Nobody can surveil. Well, maybe we should surveil, but not record it. Okay, well, we're going to start recording it, but we won't save it. Okay, we're going to record it and save it, but only for a little while. Okay, we're going to save it and record it, save it for a little while. We're going to store it in a database, but only a few people have access to it. You see what I'm saying? And it's slowly evolved into, who cares? I mean, it's just, who cares, right? No, these are constitutional rights that are being violated. And when initially, this was not supposed to happen. Now, go ahead, Tim.
It's been going, so, you know, it goes every which way. So they ran the numbers because, like, the requests that come in, the Trump administration has every year is like, since he's been in office, has been over 13,000 requests for unmasking. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they all do it. You know what I mean? Right. So this isn't, always remember this unmasking. Yes, it's bullshit. A lot of people do not agree with it, but technically it's not illegal. But what is
it's
the
unconstitutional
illegal part?
Because the thing because every citizens
hold
have
up.
A right to privacy. Okay, but what I'm saying is that initially this was what the way that they convinced the American public was telling them this is not going to be done. This is, or okay, we're going to do it only a few times. Okay, no, we're going to do it and we're not going to save it. Okay, we're going to do it. We're going to save it, but only for a short little while. We're going to do it only for a short little while, but nobody can see what I'm saying. Like, it's slowly creeping.
So you
up.
Where this came from? So again. Unmasking, it's the U.S. intelligence community commonly uses the term unmasking in reference to revealing the identity of someone on a monitored communication. Under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, intelligence agents frequently eavesdrop on foreign nationals on U.S. soil, such as businessmen and ambassadors.
Tim, why did Joe Biden need access to that information?
I don't agree. Look, again, I'm not agreeing to any of it.
But again,
but
what I'm telling you is
illegal.
It very well is when he's using it as a way to get dirt on his opponents. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. So, and again, when we were said, okay, well, only a certain amount of people are going to have access to this. We're not going to record. This has slowly devolved into this is violations of constitutional rights. It is wrong. And look, I'm going to play what Rand Paul said about this whole thing. And this is a great 2 minutes.
So Fox also just wanted to follow up and ask, what makes you so sure about Biden, as Grassley and Johnson just said, potentially involved with these documents? And
the documents that we've passed out to you, and you're welcome to take pictures of, say that Vice President Biden did access and unmask General Flynn. And that means that he either personally had to sign a document to unmask him. I mean, these are questions we can get better to the specifics of by talking to the Director of National Intelligence about how the process works. But there's a list of people, President Obama's chief of staff, Vice President Biden, James Clapper, James Comey, John Brennan, It sounds like the entire upper circle, Samantha Powers, President Obama was listening to this and realized they did not have permission to listen to General Flynn. You have to get a warrant to listen to an American's conversation. And this is not just any American. This is an American who is your political opponent. Vice President Biden accessed the identity and the private conversation of a political opponent. If there is no more clear violation of a politician using their office and abusing their office to go after a political opponent. And I think he's caught red-handed here. And I'm very thankful that this has been declassified so we can get to the truth of the matter.
So this was they were unmasking General Flynn. Like you said, while Trump was running for the presidency, this is worse than Watergate. And you think Obama didn't know? Really? Biden knew. Obama knew. He either knew and was orchestrating the most corrupt actions of any U.S. president, or he didn't know and it was the most incompetent fool ever to sit in the seat. He knew. His chief of staff and the vice president were both unmasked. So Obama knew. And so the question is this why Biden is now running for president? So that any hint of an investigation against him will appear as election meddling and as a way to protect him from the justice that he deserves. They've been doing this the whole time. And any time that Trump gets rid of a treacherous Obama holdover, the media goes insane. And the latest IG who was just fired is the latest example of that. And you also got Mitt Romney, Mr. Pierre Delecto, you know, that is out there saying that he's shocked that Trump would do this. The inspector general served at the pleasure of the president. Right. Obama fired a bunch of people shortly after he assumed office and nobody batted an eye. Now, the day before it was revealed that all these people wanted to illegally unmask General Flynn's information, according to what Rand Paul is saying. Like I said, Joe Biden was out there saying he had no idea. Now, he either has dementia, right, or he's a liar.
No, he does. He's
right. So exactly. So now that we know that these people had no fear of getting caught, you have to wonder who else did they spy on, right? Can you imagine the list of people, these corrupt, these rogue, these reprobates, these scoundrels targeted? Did they spy on the Chief Justice or on any legislator, on news reporters? What dirt did they find on some of these CNN anchors that now are freaking groveling on the floor after Obama? You know, they're kissing his boots, right? So what's happening to General Flynn and what happened to him, and it's still happening because now you have a judge out there who, you know, is not letting go of a case, right? You guys have heard this, you know, because the Department of Justice, William Barr, dropped the case. As soon as he found out they were setting him up, he said, you know what, there's nothing here, and I'm going to drop the case. Now, the U.S. District Judge, Emmett Sullivan is his name, he appointed a lawyer to argue against Barr's decision to drop the case against General Flynn. I'm not kidding. He does not want to let go of the case. Basically, what this judge wants to do is punish Flynn because he committed perjury. I'm not kidding. And so that you can ask yourself, well, how did General Flynn commit perjury, right? Well, this is how they're going to get him. General Flynn pleaded guilty, even though he was innocent. And so this judge basically is saying that General Flynn lied to the court, right? So this is what they're going to get him on. And so never mind that this case is now dropped and no longer exists because the executive branch, the DOJ, dropped it. This judge wants to punish Flynn for wasting the court's time and resources. You guys understand the stupidity in what this judge is trying to do?
Yeah.
Basically,
it won't hold up.
What the judge wants to do is punish General Flynn for giving in to the full force of the U.S. government and its unlimited power because they threatened his son, even though he was innocent to begin with. What this judge neglects to mention is that General Flynn also rescinded that guilty plea. So anybody who has taken a high school civics course understands the separation of powers. This judge is trying to play the role of the executive branch. One thing to understand is that the judicial system is set in place to protect the citizenry from an overbearing executive. When the courts start practicing judicial activism, then they no longer have separation of powers. The federal judge needs to have his hand slapped by the Supreme Court, and he will if this goes up to the Supreme Court. The judicial system, again, is set in place to protect those who are accused from an overbearing executive government. Now, this judge and Emmett Sullivan was probably salivating at the idea of being the one to sentence Flynn. And right now he's got a bad case of blue balls. He was interrupted in that moment of climax and has been left flustered. He's just going to have to release his load in his hand. No one's going to show up to the
party. I mean, the only reason why this Flynn thing is a big deal, because, you know, again, unmasking happens all the time. I mean, this administration's probably unmasked more people than anybody else, is because the name got leaked.
There is no
if the name doesn't
that.
Get leaked.
Tim,
if
you're
the name
saying
doesn't
something
get leaked,
that
this is nothing.
You cannot prove. You're saying something that where's the proof to what you just said? Right,
It came out the other day. That they all say it. Every person in the intelligence community says.
Even if they do, let's say that. Even if
they ask for this, but Michael Flynn.
Even if Trump
the
is
reason
doing
why
this
is a problem. Hold on, let me finish. I'll let you do
it
your dialogue. Wrong. Let me finish. No, this is not even a question about right or wrong. The reason why all this is a issue is because his name was leaked. His name was never supposed to be leaked because according to none of us like it, but according to the FISA Act, right, any American citizen that gets unmasked, you are now protected by constitutional rights. By the Fourth Amendment, your name is not supposed to be leaked out. They leaked his name out to the media. That is why. That is the reason why this is so big. If his name never got leaked, you would have never known Joe Biden, because they don't declassify unmasking to protect all that. But because this got leaked and it's all tied up in the courts, this has been going on a lot. This happens all the time, man.
Just as
people that were part of the intelligence community says, yes, this is not illegal. It's they don't agree with it, but they go, this is legal. And what the key was that it got leaked. That is why this is a criminal case now. They need to figure out who leaked it. And now by declassifying, they're going to interview every single one. And then they can go up and down. And then when you look, and then the Comeys, the Bidens, and you're like, oh, okay, this is an agenda, right? It's an agenda. But that's the question.
To me, the fact that
is the problem.
That it happens all the time is not, doesn't remove from the fact that this is wrong, that the Vice President of the United States, they had no business knowing this guy's name. He's not in the... He wasn't part of the DOJ. He wasn't investigating him. It was his political opponent. He had no reason knowing. It's wrong. And if it's happening under the Trump administration, even though there's no proof, maybe in next president may reveal those records. I don't know. But again, it's wrong to begin with. Biden should never have had access to that information. And if it's being practiced today, it should be stopped. All right. So I'm going to mention a couple things, and then we'll go to Jeremy's closing thoughts. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Elon Musk, could he be a Republican now? Is he a Republican? Because let me show you this tweet that he recently put out. And he tweeted, take the red pill. And Ivanka Trump retweeted it shortly after that. And one of the writers for the original Matrix movie, one of the Wachowski sisters,
oh my God,
said, fuck you both.
Oh, so you know Hollywood is having a conniption right now, right?
Gee, they're freaking out.
So between this and then you saw the his latest... whatever it was, one of his latest campaign videos was like him doing Independence Day.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, everybody else is locking cities down. Like, he's like, So there's a all the movie houses in Hollywood are all getting together trying to write up a thing to where Trump can no longer use any movie clips.
Yeah.
They are so triggered.
They can't meme.
You know
so
why?
They're going to kill the whole meme thing. That's right. The left can't meme.
You know why, right?
Why?
No, you know why? I mean, the movie theaters, who funds a lot of the movies now? China. So it all goes into big circle. Everything's coming back to China,
it's a
homie.
Big jerk circle.
Everything's coming back to China. And China's the one fucking jerking everybody off.
The theaters are owned by Chinese.
Yes.
Well, the Chinese market is huge for movies. Have you noticed in the last...
They fund the movies.
Well, not only do they... Well, they may fund it, but they're also a huge market for movies. So did you notice one of the... Not the last Transformers, but the one before it?
Yep.
Half the movie takes place in China.
Yep.
The Great Wall? Who the fuck asked for Matt Damon to be in a goddamn
Matt Damon
movie about the Great Wall?
Matt Damon himself. Matt Damon. Isn't he like super freaking crazy?
Dude, but Top Gun. Top Gun. China, you know, they made Maverick take off the Taiwanese flag. And it was, it might even been the Hong Kong flag. But they had to remove it from his bomber jacket.
Wow.
China said, you got to take it off because they helped on the movie.
Yeah, and Hollywood obviously is like, whatever you say. All right, one more thing.
Well, and then Hollywood.
One more thing, and then we'll toss it off the head. Did you guys see this little short film? By the way, Kevin James.
No, I did not.
Kevin James right now is, if you guys aren't following, he's posting, I think, a weekly video or maybe a daily video. He's doing these little short films that are fucking genius. And he did one on the coronavirus and the way that the atmosphere is now. This one is hysterical. Let me show it to you guys.
Oh, hey, Ted.
Oh, hey, Marcus. How are you?
Good. We out for a little run?
Yeah. Just did 7. I might do another 7, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold you up. Hey, let's grab dinner sometime.
I would love that.
All right.
You, me, Karen.
Good seeing you. Absolutely. I mean...
one, what's your emergency?
Hi. Yeah. I got a couple handshakers right in front of me.
Okay, sir. Are they still in
the room? Yeah. I'm staring at them right now.
Seriously.
Run.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
If you are not watching Paul Blart or Kevin James, man, he's got a great, excellent YouTube channel. If you're stuck at home, you got to watch these, man. They're freaking hysterical.
Dear Lord.
All right, Jeremy.
And real quick, I got one thing real quick. If you are living in New York City, storm the beaches this weekend because your wonderful mayor said he will put up a fence and pull swimmers out of the beach. Storm that motherfucker. Burn the fucking city down. Fuck Mayor de Blasio. That fucking cock. Storm the beaches. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Happy Memorial Day.
Civil disobedience.
That's a really good point, though, that's a really good point. And so all of this is going on right now. And Memorial Day is this weekend.
Nobody even knows. They took away holidays. They took away Easter.
Hold
they closed.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Jesus.
Wait a minute.
And I'm not even religious.
Yeah. Wait a minute. This is the weekend where men and women died for your freedom.
Yep.
They died for your constitutional right.
I thought that was Independence Day.
Yep. No, you guys.
No, are you?
Watch the.
Holy guys, fuck! I'm gonna kill this son of a bitch sitting next to me. No, but this is serious. I'm being serious for a second as a veteran, and as a patriot, coming from a patriotic family. Men and women died for your freedoms to have. Speak your mind.
Yes.
To stand up, to go to work, to pay your bills, to carry a gun, whether you choose or not to choose, to wear a mask if you choose to because it's your choice.
Yep.
Men and women died for that. And this is the weekend where we get to honor them. And you're going to sit in your house bitching and waiting for somebody to come fix it for you? Freaking come on.
Yep.
Come on, America.
True. PragerU has a great video out there about this week that you should watch, Heidi. I swear, go to PragerU. For our listeners,
go watch the latest PragerU on the Memorial Day. It's a, it's an excellent animated video about the warrior and what they've sacrificed so that we could have our liberties. It's a great, great video. All right, Jeremy, I'm going to pass it on to you for closing thoughts.
All right.
In the aftermath of this fake China virus pandemic, I often hear on news reports and social media posts that the virus is going to change the way our society interacts with each other. Our politicians, our employers, our families, our friends. Many of them have bought into this idea that we need to social distance. So what does that mean? According to the CDC, social distancing means to stay at least 6 feet apart from each other, do not gather in groups, stay out of crowded places, and avoid mass gatherings. That sounds a little bit like the solitary confinement nightmare that I saw in prison movies when I was a kid. The United Nations categorizes solitary confinement of more than one day as cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment. So we're just supposed to inflict this upon ourselves voluntarily? I don't think so. Humans are a social creature. We interact with each other. It's just what we do. The idea that we can just give it up is ridiculous. Besides, we need to have contact with each other, not just for our mental health, but for our physical health as well. Research has proven that newborns that are exposed to dirt, dander, and germs have a lower risk of developing asthma and allergies, while children raised in, quote, too clean environments are more likely to develop hypersensitive immune systems that make them more prone to allergies. I know that it is important to touch, hold, and kiss newborns, not because the researchers tell me to, but because the DNA tells us. Well, female DNA, it seems. I am sure you have seen this scenario before. You're sitting at your cube at the office, and in the near distance, you start to hear giggles and chatter. You stand up to see that Linda has stopped into the office with her new one-month-old baby. Every woman within earshot has rushed over to see the newborn. They pick up the baby, they pass it around the group, each one touching its face, brushing its thin hair, breathing into its face as they make the traditional cooing noises. If you were living under a rock until about 2 months ago, you would think that they were intentionally trying to kill this newborn with their filthy diseases. But in reality, this has been happening for thousands of years, and it needs to continue to happen for thousands more. This is the natural way of things. It is in the female DNA to be attracted to newborns and to dote over them. The sharing of these germs lead to a stronger and more successful human. So to address the crazy person out there that wants to take it to the extreme, no, I'm not suggesting that we take our babies to the nearest porta potty and let them swim laps in the bowl. What I am saying is that this is a very important and natural process that must continue. Trying to live life where we keep 6 feet apart will not help. The world is full of viruses, germs, and diseases that can kill us. But our bodies have developed a protective mechanism that is pretty darn impressive. I understand that as we age, our immune systems weaken and it becomes harder to fight off these little creatures. And if you are immune compromised, by all means, take precautions to protect yourself. But the majority of the, quote, healthy people, we must continue to interact, we must continue to gather, and we must continue to grow stronger. Thank you for listening to The Salty Show. Please subscribe, hit the like button, and we will see you next time. See ya.
Guten Tag.
Adios.
Bye. Jesus.